the sermon, just a little preamble. Several months ago, I said to Austin, I think around October, that I was interested in kind of testing the limits of what sermons could be. And the recent sermons I've used poetry that you may have not liked or you may have liked. This sermon is rather different. It's four scenes. It's more like a play, more like prose. So if you've been paying attention to the scripture, because it's anchored there, I'm sure you're going to get it. If you know your scripture beyond the text, you'll be even more in the know. But I even put some pictures in the sermon if you got it. First I've ever done, I believe, just for you. You can turn the sermon over if you have it. Again, there's two pictures. The first will become clear what exactly it is. It's like orange gates. The second is a map of Nehemiah's Jerusalem restored with all the different gates portrayed throughout Jerusalem. The three that we'll be dealing with today are the lower gate, which is kind of there in the middle, the dome gate, which is down by the south, and the east gate, which is up north by the temple. Just keep all these things in your consciousness as we begin. Scene one. If I remember correctly, it was a Sunday in 2005 when my friend Morgan suggested that we celebrate. It was barely light when her alarm rang out, this disturbingly loud trumpet ringtone that she just downloaded for her new Razor flip phone. Already awake and somehow coherent, she told me about this installation going up in the park, an exhibit for the people, a tribute for the everyman, and that it was orange. And seeing that we were stuck in the northeast in dreary, bleak February, it would do us good to see some color. So a cup of coffee and a couple tickets later, we were off with that net, some measure of excitement and expectation. The PATH train rattled along, the B-line came to a screeching halt, and soon thereafter we exited on 81st Street in the shadow of our world's natural history museum. Now the wind that day was ferocious. It was darn near freezing. So when we got off the subway and began to walk, we were both, you know, wiping the tears out of each other's eyes, and no one gets cold like that. I distinctly remember the moment that my feet were so cold and tired that it would have been better if we just stayed back home in the comfortable nest of our status quo. And so, lacking the graces of awareness and pleasantry, I began turning what was our grand celebration into my bitter complaint, and my mood only darkened when we finally stood in the presence of our, her destination, this installation that she had heard about, these gates that she had gone on about, these dull orange gates with their cold steel, hard right angles, and flimsy bits of hanging laundry that she called flags. This is it, I asked. We came here for these. They're as drab as ordinary can be. She took my hand and said, I think that's the point, silly. And yet somehow, they're beautiful. Look at all these people here together, laughing, taking pictures, smiling. No matter the cold, no matter their differences, they're all together here in this ember glow. Honestly, I think they're pretty neat. I felt my brow about the challenge once more, but she preempted me and said, I know you're about the same way, but stop. No, seriously, stop. I've come to think that it's the simple things, the things that are as basic and bland as, say, the law, that often surprise me and inspire me. That's how I settled on you, anyway. So honestly, I really don't care what you think right now. I'm happy that we came. Scene two. This is it, the congregation asked. This is the guy that we've been hearing so much about. We waited all this time for him. But he's so short. His beard is unkempt. And more, isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter's boy? Why are we listening to him? He's liberty for the poor, release for the captives, naming the Syrian, Zarephath, Sidon, lepers, and widows. Come on, blasphemy. So no, no, thank you, little man. We like things the way they are. We like things with a clear division between the haves and the have-nots, the righteous and the unrighteous, the rich and the poor. You, Jesus, can take that socialist hogwash back to Bethlehem and the swine from which you came. Be gone with you, O false prophet, O uninspired one, away from us. Now. Scene 3. This is the tall one read aloud. This is the message that you gave me to give to them. All of them together, without bias, without distinction. I'm sure you're God, so I'll trust you on this, but do you really think that they'll want to hear it? That they're going to accept it? These are the same Corinthian people who are embattled by partisanship, lawsuits, and the idolatry lest you have forgotten. And just the other week I received a letter about the chaos that has overtaken their worship, where some receive Holy Communion and others are shoved away, shuttered from the sanctuary. Truly, God, these people couldn't be any more divided, even if the evil one wished it. Just leave everything to me, Paul, God said. Remember that you were once dumb and blind and separate from me. And look at your amazing transformation. Lest you forget, you are merely the vessel, the mouthpiece. My spirit will take care of everything. You just move your lips. So later that morning, Paul made his way up to the Acropolis. The square underneath the temple to Aphrodite was littered with dung, with art, with bodies. It was so hot and uncomfortable that everyone should have been inside or somewhere on some rooftop cooling themselves off, he thought. He stepped over a couple of street sleepers. He gave a sideways wave to the noble and the guard. He took note of the Gentile, the rabbi, even the prostitutes standing within arm's length of each other. And he thought, well, this is surely going to be a divine test, for everyone is here, the rabble, the royal, and all together at once. So hear ye, you people, Paul cried out. The Lord declares that you are all the same. Though you might look different, you all bear similar gifts, gifts of and from the one God, our God. Yes, this refers to you, Crispus, and refers to you, Galileo. For all of you here are the same. One of you might be lame. You there might be blind. But it matters not. You have lots of money. You are quite handsome. But it matters not. Look around and see who stands next to you. Look around and see who sits next to you. Look at them and realize that they are you and you are them. Look around and see who you're sitting next to. Look around and see who you're sitting next to. And realize that you are them and they are you. The learned, the unlearned, the clean, the unclean, the washed, the unwashed, alone you are weak, alone. You are severed limbs, but together we are one healthy body, children of the one who first unified us in creation and who has unified us once more in love. And together, together we are stronger than any wall. Together we are stronger than all nations and all armies. Together we are stronger than anything that our human mortality could ever conceive of. Silence? Really? Well, salutations and love. Scene 4. This is it. The man demanded. You sound trumpets for us to assemble at first light so we can blindly rustle through the darkness of a moonless night to meet you here in this place. In the lower city, just above that sorrow that is the valley, just a day removed from that horrible odor coming down there from the south. Why couldn't Ezra summon us at the east gate, the beautiful smell the dung coming up from the south gate. Do you really expect me to suddenly start waving my hands and celebrate that I have been relegated to the same lecture as all of them? Come now. The priest, shaking his head and now the dust off his sandals, moved on through the crowd. Suddenly, a woman, and what he first thought to be hysterics, reached out for his robe. Teacher, she exclaimed. Teacher, thank you. Thank you, teacher, for you have set me free. Can you see these tears? Can you see how wet my face is? It's all been washed away. All of it's like I've been made new. For too long I've been stuck in that valley to the south. For too long these hands have made the cheese for the people up there. But I believed all along that God was still here in my midst. I was told that I was a fool, that there was no meaning to any of this, besides those behind the walls tell us their meaning. But here you are, priest. Here you are, teacher, telling me that there isn't that an order to be made out of all this chaos. Here you are with Ezra and Nehemiah,